Failure is simply the opportunity to begin again, this time more intelligently. I suppose Henry Ford said it. The internet credits him with that saying, so it must be true, right? Failure is simply the opportunity to begin again, this time more intelligently. Now, I am not naturally a risk taker. It's not my not my nature, because I despise my own weaknesses, my own mistakes. I get angry at myself if I think I haven't done it well. Nevertheless, I have learned, or I am learning, to trust God even with my mistakes and blunders. I want to lead confidently and yet be humble enough to quickly confess and repent and get on with whatever God has for us. We read in Joshua 7 that just after Israel had this epic experience in Jericho of God delivering the whole city into their hands, right after that they also had a colossal failure at Ai, where they were defeated by a much smaller force. And Joshua couldn't understand it. He didn't know why that defeat had come. And he was just devastated. He literally fell face first in the dirt before the Lord. And as you know, because we've been in Joshua 7 now for 2 or 3 weeks, you know that failure there, that defeat, was caused by one man's sin. Achan, when he took some of the things that should have been devoted from God, Achan stole from God. And that guilt brought on the nation caused their defeat at Ai. And like I said, Joshua, the leader, was just, he was ready to quit. He was just devastated. And so we come to chapter 8, and it is literally a new chapter for Israel. I mean, it's more than a literary new chapter. It is it's a redeeming of the nation. They've had this devastating defeat, and God is speaking into that, and he tells them, go back to Ai. And in this, we learn that we need to receive God's redemption. We need to receive it. We need to let him redeem our failures. Joshua did not know why the defeat occurred at first. And he was ready to quit. We don't need to quit. We don't need to give up. Let God redeem our failures. So look at Joshua chapter 8, verse 1 and 2. Then the Lord said to Joshua, do not be afraid, do not be discouraged. Take the whole army with you and go up and attack Ai. For I have delivered into your hands the king of Ai, his people, his city, and his land. You shall do to Ai and its king as you did to Jericho and its king, except that you may carry off their plunder and livestock for yourselves. Set an ambush behind the city. So Yahweh, the creator of the universe, spoke to Joshua and said, do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. I think that phrase, do not be afraid or do not fear, is the most often repeated command in all of Scripture. It is a consistent message from God. Do not be afraid. I'm involved here. And he says it especially when something cool is about to happen. Don't be afraid. And he tells Joshua, don't even be discouraged here. Remember in Joshua 1, when Joshua was appointed leader over Israel, what did God tell him to do? Be strong and courageous. Be very strong and courageous. God reminds us that we work for him. And we're on his team. And since we're with God, we need not fear. We can afford to be strong and courageous when we are on his plan. We know that he will protect us and provide for us, that he goes before us and he is our rear guard. Now, regarding that that first attack on Ai that we read about in chapter 7, it is curious that we have no record of Joshua consulting God before they made that assault. He sent a couple of spies up there, and they came back and said, oh, you don't even need to send the whole army, right? Just send 2,000 or 3,000 men. And so that's what Joshua did. And they got their tails kicked, and 36 soldiers lost their lives. And Joshua, like I said, was devastated. What happened? We just ran over Jericho with little effort, and we can't even take this little outpost named Ai. We'll be careful not to about our conclusions there, but we have no record of him consulting God before they went up to Ai the first time. Whereas in chapter 8, they hear very clearly from God, Go to Ai and attack the city. By the way, this time, set up an ambush from behind the city. God's even into strategy. How about that? This time, set up an ambush. We need to be on God's plan. We need to do our best to know God's plan. And in our day, we have this book. We have the written word of God, and we have the indwelling of His Spirit to lead us and guide us. We often say, well, I wish I had a neon sign to make this decision. Well, we may not, but we have the direction of the Lord. We have the leadership of His Spirit, and it's enough. We know that the Spirit will guide us if we are yielding to Him. Now, after that defeat and the first attack on Ai, Joshua fell face down before the Lord and apparently stayed there for hours in the dirt. And then God met Joshua that day. And what did He tell Joshua? Stand up. I think the implication is, dust yourself off. There's work to do. I'm not finished with you. Stand up, Joshua. The failure of Israel at that point was not the end of their usefulness to God. God had more to do with them. Their guilt was not the final judgment. Their sin, even though it was fatal to Achan and his family, was not fatal to the nation or to their leader Joshua. Now, in a commentary on this part of Joshua, the famous Warren Wiersbe quoted a sermon preached in 1849 by a fellow named F.W. Robertson in England. And it says, life, like war, is a series of mistakes, and he is not the best Christian nor the best general who makes the fewest false steps. Poor mediocrity may secure that. But he is the best who wins the most splendid victories by the retrieval of mistakes. Forget mistakes. Organize victories out of mistakes. That's a good word. Even when our failures are due to sin, we need not give up. Christ was victorious over death so that we do not have to yield to sin and death. We were raised to life in Him. Now, we may need to confess and repent, turn away from our sin. We may need to retool. We may need to rechart the course. But we need not give up and quit. If we quit because we've made a mistake or because we have sinned, we're cheapening the death of Christ. He died for our victory. Wiersbe also wrote, once the nation of Israel had judged the sin that had defiled their camp, God was free to speak to them in mercy and direct them to their conquest of the land. God can redeem our failures and our mistakes. And I'm not saying that every mistake or misstep is sin. Some things are just simply mistakes. Or they didn't turn out as good as we hoped they would. Now, Achan's sin was a willful and knowing choice. It may have even been an indication of his poor character. We don't have a lot of information there. But Joshua's failure on that first attack of Ai was not a willful sin. It may have been a mistake of thinking, of mind, or strategy, but it was not a willful sin. And the good news is this. When we get in the right place with God, He can direct us or redirect us out of our failures and into victory. When we confess and repent, we're ready to hear God. And then God redeems our failures and our weaknesses for His own glory. As I said, it's my nature to stay on the safe path, to make sure that we do not fail. But I do not want the path of mediocrity. I want to press on the upward way, like the old song says, and gain new height every day. I want to move to higher ground. And church, you are ready to move to higher ground. You're ready. God's brought us to this point. I am absolutely convinced of it. And I'm not just talking about building, although that is before us today, a choice to build a building or not. But I'm not just talking about building. With our teaching and our preaching, we need to press forward. With our music and worship, we need to learn and we need to grow. We might even need a little Pentecostal in us. Or maybe we should say we need the Holy Spirit. With our training of disciples, we need to raise the standard. With our governance systems, we need to grow. We need to retool for a growing church. We have lots to do to make sure that we reflect the character of God. We have lots to do to make sure that we help people become lifelong disciples of Jesus Christ who help other people become disciples. And we cannot submit to the culture of the world around us. We must stubbornly cling to God's plan and His economy. And when we do that, it will cost us in the world. We know that. When we stubbornly follow the Lord, it will cost us in the world, but it will pay heavenly dividends. Aren't you glad you're on this journey? Look around. Just look around the room. Aren't you glad to be with this company of people? Broken sinners, redeemed by the grace of Jesus Christ. We are all broken, but we don't need to stay there. Do not fear. Do not be discouraged. Be strong and courageous. We will make mistakes. We have made mistakes. We will have failures. Let us bring them to the cross. Let the Lord redeem our mistakes and failures and even our sin. Let us be willing to confess our sin and to repent. And let us be humble and willing for God to have the glory. I believe that there are good times and hard times ahead. Sometimes the hard times are the best. That's a lot of times the way I said that. Hard times can be the best. We're not going to stay camped in a safe spot where there are no challenges or risks. We need to move to higher ground. Like Caleb, when they were dividing up the land of Israel, and he was maybe the oldest man in the whole nation. And he said, I'll take the hill country where the giants are. Give me the hill country. I'm not afraid of those giants. We need to remain faithful. We need to practice holy living. We need to be strong and courageous. Go back to the second part of verse 1 there and through verse 2. God told Joshua, take the whole army with you and go up and attack Ai. For I have delivered into your hands the king of Ai, his people, his city, and his land. you shall do to Ai and its king as you did to Jericho and its king, except that you may carry off their plunder and livestock for yourselves. Set an ambush behind the city. Take up the whole army with you, Joshua. Do not follow the wisdom of man like those spies told you, but do what I'm telling you. Take the whole army and attack Ai. Just a note here, Ai was in the hill country. It was uphill from where they were, from where they had been and where they were camped. It was uphill from Jericho. They're west of the Jordan Valley in the hills. It literally was higher ground, and it was strategic ground for their further conquest. Further into chapter 8, the town Bethel or Beth-El is mentioned, and that name goes way back to the ancestors of Israel. And it may be that Ai was up on a hill from Bethel and was kind of a fortress, an outpost to guard Bethel. I don't know all about the archaeology, and we really don't know exactly where Ai was because it was destroyed completely. And you can read all about that in chapter 8. But God's next instruction to Joshua is curious in that the verbs turn to past tense, or maybe that's past perfect. I don't know my verb terms well enough, but he's talking about it's been done already, right? I have delivered the king into your hands. It's done. Now, you still need to go up there. You still need to take the army up there and do what I'm telling you to do, but I've done it. I have accomplished this on your behalf. God goes before us. When we're on his plan, he goes before us and clears the way. God moved ahead of Israel here. And when they got the sin out of the way and they consulted the Lord, he gave them clear direction and he gave them victory. And he still promises the same lifestyle today. It is a great adventure when we're following him. Go do to Ai and its king as you did to Jericho and its king. Now, they had devoted Jericho to total destruction, and they would do the same to Ai. Now, just a caveat, a political note here. We must remember that this devotion to destruction, complete destruction, was God's plan for Israel in this particular campaign to take the promised land. We cannot translate the same methods and the same plan to international battles today. Do you hear me? We are not Israel. Those words do not apply directly to our political or military campaigns. Israel at that point in time was fighting direct enemies of God. God wanted them to clear the land, and he gave them specific instructions to do it. I don't mean to be political. I just think we need to be careful what we do with the scripture. However, we must be devoted to the Lord when it comes to fighting the evil one. We must be stubborn about it. We must be committed to fighting evil. Now, with Ai, God told Israel they could take the plunder and the livestock. You remember in Jericho, he said, you can't take anything. You destroy everything. But this time he's told them, you can have the plunder and the livestock. It's an interesting development after all that is said in chapter 6 and chapter 7. Why? What's the difference? One of the commentaries said, well, Jericho was the first fruit of the promised land for Israel. And it's in God's law in Deuteronomy. He told Moses, have the people bring the first fruit of the harvest to me. That should be their offering to me. So perhaps that is why Jericho was supposed to be totally devoted to the Lord. Plus, he's training Israel. But it was the first fruit of the land. I think another aspect is that we need to be prepared at any point and in every point to give everything over to the Lord. We should give him all of ourselves, all that we are and all that we have, and trust him to guide us and to provide what we need. And he does, doesn't he? I see heads nodding. You know, you could give testimony today. And we will have some of those testimonies in days to come. We learn to depend on God, to be faithful to him, and he is always faithful. His mercies are new every morning. Now, much later in Israel's history, much later, in fact, the last prophet listed in the Old Testament, Malachi, he was delivering God's message of judgment to Israel when they had been very corrupt. I mean, they had just become absolutely corrupt, and God was about to bring judgment on them. And one of the things that Malachi said to them is that you're robbing God. You're robbing God by withholding your tithes and offerings. Tithe means a tenth. And Israel was commanded to give a tenth of everything to the Lord. If they had a harvest, the first tenth was to go to the Lord. If their flocks, their crops, their herds, if they made money, one tenth to go to the Lord. And offerings is over and above that. That's what Malachi was talking about. You're robbing God by withholding your tithes and offerings. And here's what God said to Israel in that circumstance. In Malachi 3, bring your whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. God's saying, be faithful, just be faithful, and I will prove to you beyond measure how much I love you. And he does. We need to trust God with all that we are and all that we have. We need to trust him to redeem our failures. He has already paid the debt of our sin. Now we may need to confess it and repent, turn away from it, but we do not have to give up and quit. We shall not surrender to failure. What did God say to Joshua when he laid in the dirt all afternoon? Get up. It's time to get up. Time to get moving. Another quote I read this week. No matter what mistakes we make, the worst mistake of all is not to try again. For the victorious Christian life is a series of new beginnings. Does that give you some relief? It's okay to start over. We all fail. We need to get up. Let the Lord redeem our failures. Let him turn them into victories. If it is caused by sin, confess it, repent it, and get away from it. Get some help if you need to. I hope you are encouraged by this biblical truth. It applies to us individually. It applies to us corporately as his church. When we make mistakes, we need to say, okay, Lord, looks like we blundered there. What do you want? What is it? What did we miss? Where do you want us to go? What do you want us to do? And we need to be humble enough to make the adjustments and move on. We will press on toward higher ground.